chapter number 1. Acts chapter number 1, verse number 4. Acts 1 and 4. And being assembled together with them, it's talking about Jesus is with the disciples, with the early church, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. Luke 24 and 49, the Bible said, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, and tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Would you lift your hand, ask the Holy Ghost to anoint us tonight. Lamb of God, we appreciate the presence of God that we feel in this sanctuary, Lord. We're asking you to come by and touch every heart and life. Lord, pour your Spirit out on us. Give us a word to say. My prayer is, God, you'll meet us in this altar, Lord. Fill hearts and lives with the precious Holy Ghost. We'll give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. I was praying about this message some time back. I was just praying this a couple months ago, and a phrase, and it very seldom ever happens to me that way. Normally, I got a scripture on my mind or a subject, and I go from there, but a phrase just come to my heart is just as real as if you had said it to me, and it was this: a Pentecost that is pending. A Pentecost, and that's what I want to preach on tonight, a Pentecost that is pending. Immediately, the word pending caught my attention. I went to Webster and found that this word, it means awaiting adjustment or while awaiting. And then I knew I had seen the word pending somewhere else, Brother Daniel. I knew as a word I'd seen. And I recalled, you will too, and around the neighborhoods, then you'll see a for sale sign in a yard. And on top of that sign, you'll see a little other sign tacked on top of it. It says pending. Or sale pending. And as the Lord began to deal with my heart about this, I felt like He wanted me to preach tonight on a Pentecost that is pending. I want you to look first at this tonight in the book of John. You don't have to turn there, but chapter 16, verse number 7. Jesus said, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you." John 16 and 8, "And when He has come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." 16 and 13, "Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He'll guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come." As I begin to think about that word pending, and really, a lot of times I don't draw analogies to things of this nature, but it was the simplest way in my mind to really understand what it meant as you drive by. And if I had a for sale sign tonight, I would have stuck it up there. But that little sign on top of that for sale, as you see the sign in the yard, you drive by when you see that sign that says for sale or a realtor sign, instantly you recognize that this is something that is available to purchase. You realize that it's something that, Brother Adam, is not off limits. There's a difference in a no trespassing sign and a for sale sign. The for sale sign indicates to me, Brother David, that I am more than welcome to come on that property, to look around, to see what's there. And that's what, as I see that, you see those little tubes on the bottom of those for sale signs. It's got a paper in it, and it tells about it. And what they're saying, that is the easiest way that they can say, hey, everybody that's passing by, I want you to know that this property right here that you're looking at, I want you to know it's available. I want you to know that this is something that as you pass by, if it catches your attention, if you see something you like, if you want to inquire farther, that it's not off limits and it's not exclusive to any one person. But when the sign goes in the yard, it's telling everybody that passes by, hey, if you like this, you can have this. If you want this, you're willing, you're able to come and take a look at it. You've seen them. They got it. It's got a picture in there, and it tells you how many rooms it has. It tells you all of the amenities and the luxuries. If it's got a pool, if it's got a the bathrooms, that what it's got, how old the appliances are. Brother James, what that realtor is trying to do is he's trying to get it, he's trying to make it look as as drawing as he can. He wants to build that thing up the best he can. He wants everybody that's passing by, as they look at it, Brother Daniel, the more they read and the more they see, something begins to turn on the inside of them and say, boy, that's just what I'm looking for. That's exactly why I wanted one with that many rooms. I wanted one. That's exactly what I needed. I wanted a pool. I wanted this. And they want to build it up, Brother Adam, because they want people to be interested. And as Jesus comes to these disciples, and he's telling you, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's expedient for me to go away. And he begins to tell them that he, the Spirit of Truth, when he comes, I see in that Pentecost is presented. I believe what the Savior is doing right here is Christ is telling this group of believers that hey, he's putting a stake in front of it. And he say, look, I'm leaving, I'm going away, but there's going to be something come back. And as he begins to build it up, hey, he's going to be the Spirit of Truth. He's going to lead you. He's going to guide. He's going to help you. He's going to encourage you. He's going to comfort you. What's he doing? He's writing out a list of amenities. He's writing out the luxuries. He's hitting all the high points. And he's telling the early church that, hey, church, this right here, this Pentecost, this Holy Ghost, is something that's available. It's not off limits. I understand the day and hour we live in. There's organizations that say the baptism of the Holy Ghost was for the early church, and that it's off limits and it's past. And it's over. But Jesus Christ was speaking to the church, and he said, it's available. It's here. All you've got to do is come. And he begins to build it up. He tells them, you're going to be brokenhearted, and you're going to be down and discouraged, but he's a comforter. You're going to need to know which way to go, and he'll guide you. You're going to need to know the truth in a world of error. But he, the Spirit of Truth, I'm telling you, what's he doing? He was building him up. What's he doing? Hey, he'll bring power. Acts 1 and 8 said, you shall receive power. What he's saying is, hey, this is everything you need. You got some of them salesmen like Brother Terry and Brother Daniel. They could sell an air conditioner to somebody in Alaska because they know what they're selling. And they know all the pie points, and they know the sales pitch. And they know everything. That's what Christ was doing. He was trying to make the Holy Ghost something that the early church said, hey, I can't live without this. As Christ got through describing it, those men were looking at him and say, I've got to have it. I don't care what it costs me. You know, in life, there's things that come in our life. There's things that come in our life that where people will borrow money to buy things that they don't need with money they don't have because they want it. Because they said, I've got to have it. I can't live without it. And can you see this church? They realize their heart's broken. They realize Christ is about to leave them. They're living in a society where everybody hates them. The government hates them. The religious world hates them. And Christ begins to go over this list of things, all that the Holy Ghost is. And I can see Peter and James and John as they begin to get excited, Brother Daniel. And they say, Jesus, I can't live without this Holy Ghost. I've got to have it, Lord. Tell me what I need to do to receive it. Tell me what I need to do to purchase it. Tell me what I need to do to get my hands on it. Because I know one thing, I refuse to live without him. After all you described, after all you said, there's no way I'm going to live the rest of my life without the third person of the triune Godhead. He's still available. Brother Adam, is the Holy Ghost still baptizing? Candace, is the Holy Ghost still baptizing? It's available. If we could see a sign right here tonight, it would say, this is available. It's available. You can have it. It's not off limits, regardless of what any other denomination or organization says, that it's over and it's past. But I believe I know enough. I don't know a whole lot, but I know that the baptism of the Holy Ghost is still available, because I know what I feel right now. I feel the glory of the Lord in my heart. It lets me know it's still available. He's still baptizing. He's still filling. He's still pouring out his Spirit on his people. Pentecost is presented. Jesus said, hey, this is what it is. A lot of people have things to present and they have to make it sound better than it really is. But Jesus, the Son of God, as powerful as he is, he still didn't tell us how good he was. One man said, I have not seen, and ear hath not heard, neither hath it entered into the hearts of man what he has prepared for them that love him. Jesus told us a lot about the Holy Ghost, Brother Daniel, but really when I read the book, it's not near as good as it is when he come into my life. And I said, it's better felt than told. You ever bought something and got it home and found out it was a lot better than it was advertised? That's the way the Holy Ghost is. It's advertised in the book and it's wonderful, but it's better felt than told when you experience it for yourself. What the Bible say? The books of the world couldn't contain it. If Christ would have done it and told, and the book would have told everything, Brother Adam, there wouldn't be enough libraries in the world to contain it. But I'm telling you what the Holy Ghost is. He's available tonight. I know for a fact he's still baptizing. He's building him up. He's laying the groundwork. He's letting them know. Can you see them? They're getting excited, Brother Daniel. We get to talking sometimes, me and Adam. I know the feeling, Adam and Caleb, about Sister Crystal making fun of you all the way to Mobile. I've been there. Me and Brother Adam coming back from Kentucky on that U-trip, they all was talking. But Brother Daniel, what it was, is we were beginning to talk about the things of the Lord. We began to talk about how God pulled us out of sin. We began to talk about the baptism of the Holy Ghost and what he'll do. And it wasn't long, Brother Daniel, something began to turn over in my life. And Brother Kevin, I said, I need more of that. Pentecost is presented. Jesus says, here it is. You can have it. Acts chapter 1 and verse number 13. And then when they were come in, they went up into an upper room. And when the day of Pentecost were fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. I want you to notice here, Pentecost is pending. Pentecost is presented, and Christ ascends back to the Father. And those two standing there, they said, why stand you here gazing? They said, they're saying, you need to get about the business. You need to do what Christ, you need to get back to Jerusalem. And I see them as they come into this upper room, and they're gathered together. They don't have any preconceived ideas of what this is going to be. They don't know how it's going to be. All they know is Christ. And that word pending, it means we're waiting. It's in the works. It's in the process. But we really hadn't got everything in order yet. But I want to let you know somebody's interested. That's where they're at in the upper room. They're gathered together. They're in one accord. They're in one place. That pending sign, when it goes up on the top of the for sale sign, what that is, it lets everybody that's passing by know that there is somebody that's interested in this property. There's somebody that's come by and they've looked it over and they went room by room. They've inspected it. They've had a home inspection. And it's exactly what they're looking for. And now they've went behind closed doors to do business. They've went in the room and shut the door. And they're trying to get all the details worked out. That's what the disciples were doing in the upper room. They said, Christ, we're interested. We want a contract on this deal. We want to get behind closed doors and do business. And that's exactly what they were doing. They were behind closed doors, and they were praying for power that Jesus said they could have. Well, a lot of people want to buy stuff. They want a bargain. They want a deal. They want to talk them down. I don't know that the cabinets are scratched or whatever, and they want to talk them down. They think that somehow they're going to talk God into lowering the price for them, or that the Holy Ghost is going to go on clearance or something. I know at Academy a while back they had a fishing bag, Brother Daniel. It's $40. They put it on sale for $24. I seen people come back in and pay $40 for it. It went back for $19. Brother James, that told me something. I'm not real smart, but something in my mind said they don't have that much in it. It's really not worth that much money to them. They're just wanting to see how much they can get out of it. So in my mind, I said, I'll never pay the full price for that again, Brother Earl, because once they lowered the price one time, it let me know it really wasn't worth the full retail. And I think that's the mentality a lot of people have in Pentecostal churches today, that somehow they're going to get in there and talk God into lowering the price or haggle with the Lord and say, God, I want the Holy Ghost, and I want you to come my way a little bit. I don't really want to pay full asking price. The old Church of God man, Ray Hughes, said the Holy Ghost is a witness to a sanctified life. But some people don't want to pay the full price. They want God to meet them in the middle. Lord, I want it. I desire it. But Lord, why don't you come my way? That standard of holiness is a little too high. And that sanctification, I really don't want that. But I want the Holy Ghost. You may buy a product. You may buy a house and go to a pawn shop. I want to tell you, this ain't no pawn shop in here tonight. You can't come in here and bargain with the Lord. You can't come and say, God, I really want the Holy Ghost. But I think you're asking a little too much of me. I think you, this sanctification, this separation from the world, I think you're asking a no, no. If you want the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you're going to pay the price that everybody else has paid. You ain't going to get no deal. You ain't going to get no bargain. You're going to have to pay the price. Holy Ghost ain't on some clearance sale. If you don't meet the God bargains different than we do. I know in one place he said, come, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, I'll make them white as wool. What he was telling them there is you're getting the better end of the deal already. But on this Holy Ghost, there's a criteria that must be met. First of all, they had all believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. They were all saved. You can't have the Holy Ghost till you get saved. I know that sounds simple and that sounds elementary, but I think a lot of people forgot about that. They like speaking in tongues and they like dancing and shouting and running, but they don't like that salvation part because it gets into their style. It gets into their life. But they believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 1 and verse number 14, they all continued with one accord and with supplication. That tells me that some of the criteria is a life of prayer. They gathered together in one accord. They were in a spirit of unity. They were in a spirit of prayer. They come into that upper room for one purpose. They didn't come for any other reason but that Jesus Christ had told them that he had done built the Holy Ghost up to them. He had done got them interested. He had done got them wanting it. He had done got them... Oh, I would to God I could get somebody interested in the Holy Ghost tonight. I would to God some of these young people that hadn't ever received the baptism would get interested. Some of us older folks that's received him would get interested in getting him again. They had prayer. They come to seek the Lord. They didn't come just to sing a few songs. I'm sure they may have been singing, but they were singing because they knew the power was coming. They were praying, but they weren't praying now I lay me down to sleep. They weren't praying so everybody else could hear them. Their prayers weren't horizontal, but they were vertical. They were calling. They said, Lord, you done got me interested in this. You done got me wanting this Holy Ghost. You done got my excitement, my anticipation. And now, God, I did what you told me to do. And I'm wanting him. I'm desiring him. I'm needing him. They all had one accord. They were there for one common purpose. And that was to receive what God had for them. They had a life of prayer and supplication. Acts 2 and 1, they were all in one place, in one accord. There was a spirit of unity. Well, they come into the house of God, Brother Daniel, and they come in, they had one thing on their mind. Have you ever been there some of you's got new vehicles, when you seen it, or whatever it is, and until you got your hands on it, it's all you thought about. It consumed you. Where can I borrow the money? What can I say? What can I do? How can I get it? I've got to get it. That's where these disciples are at. Christ is gone. And since Christ left, the only thing on their mind was getting the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Acts 5 and 32, they had all obeyed the Lord. Everything was said. They were behind closed doors and they had done met all of God's requirements. They had done come to a place where they said, Lord, whatever it costs me, I've got to receive him. And that Pentecost is pending. Romans 15 and 16, the Bible talked about the Holy Ghost sanctifying. They had gotten to the place where they had prayed through, Brother Adam. They were saved. They were sanctified. They had done cleaned up. They had done shucked off the world. They done got excited about it. I wonder if anybody here, I don't know about you, maybe I'm all by myself, but I've been feeling an excitement of late. I've been feeling an anticipation in my heart. I've been feeling something stirring in my soul. It's got me excited one more time. Jesus Christ has presented Pentecost to me again and said it's still available. And I want to get in those doors, and I feel like some of us have been behind closed doors. Jesus said, when thou enterest into thy closet and shut the door, they've been doing business
with God, Brother Earl. Amen. Seeking the face of God, saying, God, whatever it takes, whatever I need to do, whatever I need the baptism.
That's where some of you is at. You've been praying through. God, whatever it takes, Brother Colby, whatever I've got to do, Lord, whatever, however, but they're there and everything, all the requirements are in order, the deal's done, everybody's in agreement, everybody's happy with the deal. In Acts 2, chapter 2, verse number 1, Pentecost is propagated. The deal's done now. It's been presented. It's done. They done had it all settled out. Everybody's done got it all worked out. And he said, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. They've been there for some time now. They've been praying. They've been bargaining with God. They've been dealing with Him. They've been meeting all the requirements. They've been signing all the papers. They've been getting everything in order, Brother Kevin. And then when they got it all said and they got it all fixed, the Bible said, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire. And it set down upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues. As the Spirit gave them utterance. I want to tell you, the deal was done. Everything was met, the requirements. And then all they needed to do was get a hold of the keys. All they needed to do was take ownership and take possession of the promise of God. I feel like right here tonight, I've got some young people, and I've got some people that's been doing business behind closed doors, and they've been praying, and they've been fasting, and they've been seeking the face of the Lord, and God's been working, and God's been moving, and you feel like, God, I've done everything I know to do, I'm on terms with you, God, I'm willing to do it your way. I want to tell you what, I feel like we're right on the brink of a Holy Ghost blowout. I feel like we're right on the edge of the power of the Holy Ghost moving in this place, and feeling somebody with the Holy Ghost. Woo! Do I feel the Holy Ghost in here? Worship the Lord, church. The Holy Ghost is in this place. There's somebody that needs to be refilled. There's somebody that needs to be filled. And you got it all worked out with God. You just need to take possession. I feel like what the day of Pentecost was the closing date. It's when they got the keys to it. It's when they got the deed to it. It's when they got the title deed to the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and a church was birthed out of that upper room that was full of power. Hallelujah. Brother Colby said, I need the Holy Ghost before I go to college because I need power. Daniel said, I need the Holy Ghost. David said, I need the Holy Ghost. Carrie said, I need the Holy Ghost. Well, I want to tell you something. He's in the house. The deal's done. What did the Bible say? Know ye not that ye are the temple? You're the dwelling place of the Holy Ghost. He done moved in. He's done took ownership. Old things are gone. New things come in. He done come in. I want to tell you, the Holy Ghost, He'll bring more stuff into your life than you ever dreamed of. I want to tell you something. It's available. Come on, church. The Holy Ghost is here. It's available. And I want to tell you something. This is what I feel on my heart. I feel like when you go to buy a house and you got the money to pay for it and you met the requirements, Brother James, you bought a lot of properties. When you come in there and laid the money on the table and said, this is what you're asking, here it is. Did you have to beg them to give you the keys? No. When you met the requirements, they said, all right, that's all I wanted. Here it is. I feel like some people get to the place where they think they can give up enough stuff to get the Holy Ghost. And I'm talking about, if He's dealing with you, do it. But they think they're going to somehow got to beg and please, oh please, oh please, oh please. I want Him, I want Him, I want Him. I'll give up this, I'll give up that, I'll do this. No, He's told you what He requires of you. And once you meet the requirements, all you got to do is accept Him. All you got to do is let Him take control. Woo! I wouldn't have got somebody get interested in the Holy Ghost tonight. I wouldn't have got somebody to obey the Lord. You've got all the dealings on the table and you met the requirements. Just let Him fill your life. I've never seen nobody get the Holy Ghost with their head buried in an altar
saying, please, oh, please, oh, please, oh, please, oh, please, 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 God, give me. I've never seen nobody get the Holy Ghost that way. I've never seen nobody, God, I'll do this, I'll do that. No. All that was done behind closed doors. But the way I seen them get the Holy Ghost is when they lifted their hands and began to worship the Lord and said, I thank you for saving me. I thank you for keeping me. I thank you for what you've done in my life. Woo! The Holy Ghost is wanting to feel somebody. I feel the glory of God in this house. He's wanting to move in somebody's life tonight. Woo! Come on, church, worship Him. Worship Him, worship Him, worship Him. Brother Adam told me. He said he went to South Carolina. See? I knew he'd been fasting. I know he'd been praying. I know he'd been seeking God. I know he'd been behind closed doors. And he went to South Carolina. He called me the next day. He said, Johnson, I went up there. They were singing. The Lord was moving. He said, I didn't ask God for the Holy Ghost. I didn't go down there. He said, I walked down to the front of the church and I lifted my hands. I didn't ask God for one thing. I didn't beg Him. I didn't plead with Him. I want to tell you, you ain't got to talk God into giving you the Holy Ghost. You ain't got to change His mind. You ain't got to make Him want to. Adam said, I didn't ask Him for nothing. But I began to worship. I began to say, God, Adam's told it. God, I thank you for pulling me out of the gutters of sin. I thank you for keeping my home together. I thank you for restoring my backslid soul. I thank you for blessing. He began to worship God. He said, I was there. I had my hands in the air. He said, I was worshiping. I was praising. And all of a sudden, I heard somebody speaking in tongues. And I realized it was me. I didn't ask Him for it. I didn't plead. I didn't beg. But I done met the requirements. And the deal was done. And all He had to do was worship Him. I don't know what else to tell you. The ball's in your court. If God's talking to your heart and He's wanting you to move and He's wanting you to move out and obey the Holy Ghost, you just need to obey the Lord. I done told you everything I know to tell you. I'm trying to build Him up. I'm trying to tell you He's worth it. I'm trying to tell you He'll keep you. Young people, you're living in a world that hates our guts. But I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost to keep you. He'll bless you. He'll help you. I want to present Him to you. I want you to know He's available. You've been living right. You've been praying for God to help you. You've been praying for God to move in your life. I want you to come to the front of this church right now. Come on. Come on. I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost is in this place. I'm believing somebody's going to leave here speaking in other tongues. I believe somebody's going to leave here full of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Woo! Come on. Come on. You've been seeking the Lord. You've been living everything you know to live. Come on, Brother Daniel. Come on, Brother Colby. You done done everything you know to do. You've lived everything you know to live. And now it's just time to let the Holy Ghost take possession. Come on. Come on. Come on. Woo! Come on, young people. Come on, middle-aged people. Oh, you need to be refilled. The Bible said all throughout the book of Acts, they were filled again. They were filled again. Just receive Him. Just receive Him. Come on, Kevin.
fast. Come on, church. Holy Ghost is in the house tonight. Woo! Hallelujah! Oh, Spirit of God, Spirit of God, Spirit of God, Spirit of God, Spirit of God.
Hallelujah.
God, Spirit of God, Spirit of God. Come on, Caleb.